A president of EAA who's not named Paul Berezny? Change is in the wind. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. The Experimental Aircraft Association announced last week that Tom Paul Berezny, president of EAA and son of founder Paul Paul Berezny, would be transitioning into a new role as chairman, with a shift in focus to building EAA's long-term financial security. The search for a new president has officially begun. ANN editor-in-chief Jim Campbell had the chance to talk at length with Tom about the changes. The first obvious question is, why?
You know, EAA is an organization that's been successful for many decades and will continue to be successful. And one of the important things is cultivating and ensuring continuity of leadership going forward. And my dad had stepped down as chairman of the board about a month ago, and the board selected me chairman and president. As a follow-up to that, I'm going to initiate a search for a new president so I can focus my efforts on the future financial stability of the organization. I'm not retiring, but I'm moving on to a different role in the organization that will ensure the long-term health and important role that it plays in the aviation community.
Well, that's a mouthful.
There's a lot to say here because it's important that people know that EAA's role in the community is going to be enhanced going forward. You know, it plays an important role with Oshkosh and the programs that we have, and I want to be sure that they continue at the level and even enhance as time goes on.
Well, let's talk short term.
Sure.
What changes will we see in EAA over the next year or so as a result?
Well, basically short term, Jim, first of all, the fact is that I'm maintaining a dual role as far as president and chairman. And to a certain extent, it'll be business as usual with the added incentive or added responsibility to initiate the search for a new president, that when that person comes on board, we'll take over operational aspects of the organization so I can focus on relationships and especially the endowment, which is going to be important to the organization's future financial security.
And what does this do to the spirit of the organization, though? Do we expect any changes in the direction and overall mission of EAA?
No. In fact, what we want to do is ensure continuity and stability. So I think what it is maintain the spirit, the passion for flight. And, you know, we are already, as I announced in my column a few months ago, expanding the direction of the organization to more properly reflect who we've become as an organization. That's the diversity, embracing the diversity of our organization, which is craftsmen, pilots, enthusiasts, and so forth. So our core constituency will continue to be served, but we'll expand to properly reflect who we've become as a result of what you see at Oshkosh each year during the summer.
So ultimately, though, the big surprise, if you will, is the fact that there is now a earnest search for literally your replacement.
Well, I'm not sure. It's not so much a surprise as that hopefully it provides the good news, the fact that EA is looking long-term while it takes care of short-term issues. As I said, I had my first meeting with advisors on this June of 2005, and it's been a long-term effort, you know, not on a daily basis, but on an ongoing basis to discuss and plan for succession. I'm not retiring. I'm going to still stay actively involved as a member of the staff, but I'm focusing my effort over the next year in terms of transition and focus on financial security and the endowment as opposed to the daily operational details, utilizing the contacts and skills I've developed over 45 years with EAA.
Does that mean at this point that you are starting to deputize, if you will, some of your other staffers, or are you bringing other people on in the interim until a successor is named?
No, one of the things we did, Jim, years ago, and it's serving us well in this economy, is restructured the organization to ensure that we had a strong leadership team within the organization, and that leadership team is stepping forward. So there essentially are no internal changes and so forth. It's really structuring the organization to be able to move forward and allow me the time to initiate the search while maintaining my responsibilities on a current daily basis.
Well, this has been a year in which successions have been obviously first and forefront of the news, both on the national scale as well as the aviation scale. AOPA has just transitioned from Phil Boyer to Craig Fuller with, depending on what reports, varying degrees of success and satisfaction on the part of those interacting with AOPA. How does EAA select a successor whose last name isn't Paul Berezny?
Well, that's the challenge ahead of us, and we're ready for the challenge. We've done a lot, and I think the encouraging aspect is that we've been very thoughtful in terms of how we're going to proceed, and what maybe differentiates it from the other transitions you've talked about is that I'm not retiring. I'm moving into a different role as opposed to leaving the organization, and that was an important part of my thinking and the thinking of the board is to ensure continuity and stability and the opportunity to focus on the assets of the organization going forward, especially the endowment, and that will be my focus, and at a point in my life where I can provide the resource, time, and the experience to build that.
Well, who is your search team then? Who's going to be in charge of, I would assume, you in part?
Yeah, myself, and I'm working with the executive committee. We have a search firm that will be Blue Line Advisors will be conducting the search, and the executive committee and myself will be the search team.
And is there a timeline involved for this?
The timeline is whatever time it takes to get the right person. You know, it's a priority, and the fact is that it's not one of those things that's in the back burner. But it's not as much time sensitive as ensuring that we do a thorough search to find the right person who's got the cultural attributes and the operational experience and the passion for flight that we think is important for going forward.
And whether or not they can do an inverted ribbon pickup.
I'll add that to the list, Jim.
Well, there you go. I mean, let's face it. In your heyday on the aerobatic circle, you guys were pretty hard to follow, so I'm not quite sure that's going to be part of the search team here, but it can't hurt.
Well, we get all kinds of suggestions for attributes, and as I said, it's important to me to be able to facilitate the transition and then move on to things I've been working on but haven't had the time on a daily basis to really work on. So it's an exciting opportunity. It's the next phase of EA's life and my life.
We'll be back in a moment for more with ANN's Jim Campbell and EAA President and Chairman Tom Poberesny. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack. ANN's Jim Campbell is talking with EAA's Tom Poberesny about the search for a new president for EAA.
You know, there's got to be a little bit of a mellow feeling to that, to make these transitions and so forth, to be looking ahead to a point when your life changes and your position in the organization changes.
Well, you know, change is always interesting and different, but the big thing is that I've had 2.5 years to prepare myself for this and basically be an important part of the planning for it. So what happens is at this point in time, it's not a surprise or a major change because I've been preparing for this for the last 2 years and preparing myself to be able to move to the next stage of my leadership life and so forth. And the difficult part is to be able to bring it into focus, because when you talk about the future, that's kind of, it can be a black hole. It's, you know, it's the old story. I want to do something for tomorrow, but I've got today's things that are pressing, and we tend to put things off. And there was a time where you just realized that if you don't do it now, you're never going to do it. You're going to do it at a time when you don't have the time to do it right. And this is one of those things that if you do it right the first time, it'll be successful, and that's what everybody wants to see.
And let's face it, the now is pretty problematic. We're in a tough period.
Absolutely. And the thing is that the good news is that EA's is a strong organization in terms of its membership and other aspects, and so this is a good time to build for the future. And you need to be, while we're addressing the now situation, we need to build for the future. And because the EA's role in aviation is so important, we have to be sure that it's here for decades to come, not years to come.
Well, I have to ask you, do you see, you know, from your standpoint, you've watched and molded this since you took it over from Paul. And let's also face it, it's kind of interesting to transition an organization that has been, to a certain extent, a family operation, i.e. Paul, then you, and to have this lineage and to have this continuity to go to the outside. But with the outside meaning probably a lot of differences in outlook and thoughts and so forth, what are you looking for both in the person as well as how they're going to apply EAA to the future, because with the challenges that we're looking at now, I can't possibly believe that we're not going to have additional challenges in the future.
Well, there's no question about it, Jim. We're in uncharted territory in terms of the challenges we face from an economic standpoint, from an attitude standpoint, et cetera. And as I said earlier, we've already started to chart the course for the organization. We'll continue that course, and it's going to be, in some regards, the same, in some regards, different. The main thing is that the attributes we're looking for is someone who's passionate about flying, that can relate to the culture and the spirit of the organization, and has operational experience. Now, there's other attributes, and you're going to weigh those accordingly over time. But the key is to understand the culture and the diverse membership that we have and the broad demographic that we represent. But the commonality is a love of flight, a love, a passion for aviation, whether you're a pilot, enthusiast, owner, builder, restorer. I mean, as you know, Jim, from coming up here, there's no more passionate group of people than EAers when it comes to aviation.
That'd be a hard thing to argue with from any standpoint, no question about it.
You know, and this is exciting. You know, it's not the end of the beginning or the beginning of the end. It's another step. And once you embrace change and help to direct change, it's the right thing to do as opposed to having it overwhelm you.
Oh, there's that change word again. That's been getting a lot of people in a lot of trouble lately, though.
Well, you know, life is full of changes.
Absolutely.
And anybody who thinks it isn't is kidding themselves. I mean, we always talk about the good old days, and the good old days are a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And what happens is over time things change. Expectations, people, how we communicate. I mean, the list goes on and on. And those that are successful, those who adapt to change and help to facilitate change and have an idea where they're heading in the future. And I think that hopefully people will say this is another example of EA doing the right thing moving forward to ensure the success and stability and ensure that it plays the significant role that it does within the aviation community long term.
Well, in regards to making EAA relevant to the future, what's on the table and what's not on the table? What changes or what can change and what shouldn't change?
Well, you know, first of all, what shouldn't change is the spirit and the ambiance of the organization, the culture, the relationships. They're so important to people because you see it at Oshkosh, you see it at local events, you see it in the chapters, that what happens is the relationships that are developed last a lifetime, and they're intangible, but they're valuable to each individual, and that can't change, and the integrity and so forth. We're an organization with basically three constituents, Jim. Craftsmen, which is home builders and restorers and so forth. Pilots, people that fly any type of airplane, enthusiasts, those that maybe did fly one time, have never flown, but always have the dream of flight. And we started out as an organization of craftsmen, primarily home builders, and that's still a core constituency and will be forever. But at the same time, we've grown to embrace the entire aviation community, and our challenge is to embrace our diversity as a benefit as opposed to potentially divisive. And Oshkosh is a perfect example. In that 1 week, you see everything in aviation, and when people come here, they may be home builders, but I'll guarantee you they go to all areas of the airport because everybody loves airplanes of all types.
Well, since you brought up Oshkosh, i.e. Air Venture, let's talk about that for a second.
Sure.
It is the pivotal aspect of EAA. It is what EAA is known for and renowned for all over the world, the ultimate aviation love-in. It's where everybody gets together and just totally goes bonkers about airplanes for a week straight. And there's
charges everybody's batteries for the other 51 weeks a year.
Boy, and just barely so, let me tell you. How does Oshkosh, as the pivotal event in the EAA's life, change for the future to be more relevant?
Well, that's an ongoing process, Jim, and we've already started that with site improvements we made to invest in the site to ensure that it meets expectations to maintain its premier standing. But the key is to understand people's needs and respond accordingly. When I look back to the 1970s and the 80s and the 90s, every time we've made changes, it's been incremental in nature, and it's been in response to what people desire and want rather than some master plan. I wish I had a crystal ball to say this is what people are going to want 10 years, 12 years, 14 years down the road. But the key is to be integrally involved with the people that are participating. And what really helps is that we have this strong army of volunteers who have daily contact with members and participants, both at the convention and on a year-round basis, that gives us the best research possible to understand what people want and need. And I'm proud to say that Oshkosh has truly grown to be one of the premier aviation events in the world, both from a trade standpoint as well as a participatory standpoint. And one of my goals is to continue to maintain the unique culture of the event. And, you know, there are some that say, well, it's become too big, it's too this, it's too that. My response is, who do you tell not to come? It's one of the world's greatest recruiters to the aviation community and one of the greatest PR things we have, in addition to being an important part of the industry's ability to sell products to people who are interested in flying.
And in a world where it's harder and harder to be impressed or empowered by things, the bigger you are, the more strong you are in the long run anyway.
Well, and you know, if you provide quality and value, size takes care of itself, Jim.
Well, it's obvious that Oshkosh has provided a value for hundreds of thousands of people year in, year out, and especially during that fabled week of, oh my gosh, how do you pack 5 pounds into a 2-pound bag?
Yeah, I tell you what, it feels like I live a year every week at Oshkosh. It's, there's a lot that goes on, and when it's all over, it's a blur, but it's the best blur in the world.
So, quick question. What is Paul's involvement from here on out? Is he retired now?
No, you know, basically, Paul is the founder. You know, he will be that till the day he dies, and so he's nurtured it as the founder and will continue to provide his insights and basically his role is that's his role as founder. And that'll never change. He'll be that way till whenever he no longer can function, and that's not in the immediate future. He's 87, but he's a healthy and vibrant 87.
No question about that. Outstanding. Well, and hopefully, you know, for much, much longer into the future.
Absolutely. So, you know, this is just a next step in our history, and I'm excited about it because what it does is allows me to utilize my experience in a different direction once the transition is complete, and that'll take some time, but the thing is you have to start the first step along a journey to in order to reach the goals that you want to reach.
Final question.
Yes.
How wide do you cast the net for a successor? I mean, are you looking within the walls? Are you looking within the organization, or are you basically looking everywhere you can?
Jim, that's the latter. We'll look everywhere, internal, external, up, down, left, right, inverted ribbon cutter, anything. Basically, we're going to be as thorough as possible and try and find the person whose attributes best match the organization and can bring in a next level of leadership that meets our expectations.
EAA, onward and upward, huh?
You got it, Jim.
Tom, take care and all the best.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate the time.
Jim Campbell is ANN's editor-in-chief. Tom Poberesny is the chairman and, for now, president of the Experimental Aircraft Association. You can find out more at www.eaa.org. And you've been listening to a special feature from AeroNews. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.